We are certainly thankful for the presence of each and every one of you here this morning. I know that there are some who are visiting. We're glad you're here. And we're thankful for our members and visitors alike. I know that Thanksgiving is just a few days away. I know that we all look forward to it, at least the guys do generally, to eating and to watching football. But I think it's more than that, obviously. It's a day for which we need to be thankful for every blessing God provides us with, and every day for the Christian should be a day of thanksgiving. Most of you, I'm sure, are aware that the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. Not many of us can read Hebrew or Greek. And so there have been numerous translations of the Bible over the many years that man has existed. Sometimes an individual's quoting or misquoting of Scripture makes the most interesting translation. In Sunday school, there was a second grade class that was asked to quote a favorite passage of Scripture. And one seven-year-old boy gave his unique version of the 23rd Psalm and the first verse. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I don't want nothing." So, when I was a young boy, I had some difficulty with that first verse of Psalm 23 as well. At first, I thought "I shall not want" meant that I didn't want the Lord as my shepherd, and I certainly didn't feel that way. So later, I thought that there was something wrong with me, and I know many of you would agree with that. But although I wanted the Lord to be my shepherd, I thought that I was bad because I still had a lot of wants. And one day, as I matured, I finally realized that that verse meant that as long as the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not go wanting. And certainly that is the situation for us as Christians today. But most of us have been through some difficult times when we may have been short of money or short of food or clothing, and etc. But we learned through those tough times that God kept his promise and that God always filled our needs. I want us to look this morning at Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Genesis 12, verse 1. "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan." This is probably the most unusual text that I've ever used for a Thanksgiving sermon. But I want you to think of all the physical and all of the spiritual blessings God has given to you. And as the song states, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one," There are so many blessings that we could enumerate. Or maybe there are so many blessings that we can't enumerate them. I wonder, would you be willing to leave all of the comforts of your home, to leave your homeland, to leave your extended family, to travel to a place you had never heard about, to travel to a place you had never seen? And sometimes when we were younger, we might have been willing to do so. We might be willing to make an adventuresome journey. But what about if you were 75 years old? The older we get, the more difficult it is to leave the comfortable and adjust to the unknown. That is precisely what happened to Abraham, or it was Abram in our text. He was 75 years old when the Lord told him to leave Haran, to leave his relatives, to leave the comforts of home, and move to a foreign land. And God also promised, as we read, that through him a great nation would emerge, and he would have a great name, and through him all the families of the earth would be blessed. His wife, Sarah, was 10 years younger than Abram, Genesis 17, verse 1. And they took a few creature comforts with them and made the long pilgrimage to the land of Canaan. They lived there as sojourners in a foreign land for 10 years, we're told in Genesis chapter 16, verse 3 and verse 16, before Sarah decided to take matters into her own hands. She tried to help God out by sending her handmaiden Hagar into Abraham to have the son of promise since she was barren. And Abraham was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. And they learned that their plans were not the plans of God. How many times have we gone our own way without praying, without consulting God, and determined that we were going to make it on our own, and then found out later that was not where God wanted us to be at all? For 13 more years, they did not hear anything about the son of promise. And when Abraham was 99 years old, an angel appeared to him, informing him that in 1 year, Sarah would have that son of promise. So when Abraham was 100, when Sarah was 90, they had their son of promise, and they named him Isaac. And from the time God told Abraham to leave Haran, and that a great nation would come out of him, 25 years elapsed. How would you respond if you had to wait 25 years for God to act on your behalf? God told you that something was going to take place, and you assumed that maybe it would be short term, and yet it turned out to be 25 years. And Abraham did not see the fulfillment of God's promises to him in his lifetime. He saw God's promise through faith. All of God's promises were fulfilled. We know from looking at the life of Abraham that he was not a perfect man. None of us are perfect people except Jesus Christ himself. But he was a man of faith. And I get the feeling that Abraham learned the secret of living for God in those 25 years and years following. He was thankful and content for what he had on this earth. But he understood that this earth was not his home. What is your relationship to this world? Is it as a sojourner or is it as a citizen? In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we read these words. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promises. For he was looking forward to that city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. And these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Where is your home? Why do you want to hold on to this world if you're really a pilgrim here on this earth? Has this life and this world become so comfortable that you prefer to stay here? You know, I enjoy the comforts of life as much as you do. We are blessed people to live in this country, to live in this state of Texas, and to live in East Texas. And we need to express our gratitude and appreciation to God for blessing us so richly. And that's what this time of the year is about. It's amazing to me that this Thanksgiving holiday hasn't been taken away from us. I'm grateful it hasn't. Aren't you? But it was never God's intent to make us so comfortable here that we would never long for our real home that is in heaven. In Hebrews 11, again in verse 16, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. The first record that we have of Thanksgiving Day being celebrated was in the early colonial days in New England in 1621. It was known at that time as the Harvest Festival. And after the harvest was completed by the Plymouth colonist, Governor William Bradford proclaimed a day of thanksgiving and prayer. In 1623, a day of fasting and prayer during a period of drought was changed to one of thanksgiving, because as they were praying, the rains came. How blessed they were. Those colonists left their homeland to travel to a foreign land that they had never seen before. They were in search of political and religious freedoms. And they gave up many of the comforts of home. And some of them died on the journey. And many others died from diseases after they got to this country. But they were willing to make tremendous sacrifices for the hope of going to another land and the hope of finding true freedom. Their life was hard. It was difficult. And yet, despite the perilous times that they had, they never lost sight of their dreams and their hopes. They were pilgrims and they were sojourners in search of a better country. In that respect, Christians should have so much in common with the pilgrims who put everything on the line to leave their homes for a new and a better home. Can we echo the words of Paul that he wrote in Philippians, the 3rd chapter? Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Where do we feel most at home? With the material comforts and pleasures of this world, or with the treasures that we have laid up in heaven? Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your heart? Is it here on earth or is it in heaven? Can you enjoy the comforts of this world without being too comfortable? Can you live in this world without becoming a part of this world? Are you a pilgrim traveling to a better land? Or have you found your utopia here? There is no hearth so bleak and bare, but heaven has sent some blessing there. No table e'er so sparsely spread, but that a grace should there be said. No life but knows some moment blessed of sweet contentment and of rest. No heart so cold but heaven above hath touched it with the warmth of love. So count your blessings one by one at early morn and set of sun, and like an incense to the skies, let your prayers rise. Look for the love that heaven sends, the good that every soul intends. Thus you will learn the only way to keep a true Thanksgiving Day. I wish you the best for the holidays. I hope that your time spent with friends or family will be enjoyable and uplifting to you. But I also hope and pray that you'll remember where every blessing that you have comes from. We are blessed by God. Thank you, God, for all you do for us. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, we hope that you'll do so while we stand and sing.